What's up, Long Beach? I'm your host, Julia Goldman, and you're listening to Season 3, Episode 4 of Artist Banter, a daily 49er original podcast that delves into the many manifestations of artistry within our local scene. The Daily 49er has released their October issue, which is meant to highlight experiences and stories within the LGBTQ+ community. This episode of Artist Banter focuses on October themes and features theater arts student and playwright Lucy Brown. Thank you so much for being here today, Lucy.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited.
Would you like to give a general introduction to everyone?
Hi, my name is Lucy Brown. I am a senior here at CSULB. I am studying theater arts with a focus in like theater as a study, like academic theater and playwriting and directing. Those are my big three.
Are you a performer yourself or you're more of studying?
I perform as a hobby, but I'm more of a like theater as an academic and kind of the behind the scenes aspects of theater.
I see. Uh-huh. With that in mind, could you tell me about the projects you've been working on lately?
So it feels like at any given time, I'm always working on several projects at once. But most recently, a one-act play of mine called Straight Play went up through CalRep. Last year, it went up through our student-run theater program, CSULB Theater Threshold. And it is a project about biphobia and bisexuality and like the fluidity of sexuality as partially how I've experienced it, but also just how I've witnessed in the world.
Yeah. Now that you're writing and directing and have this focus in it, when did your journey begin in theater arts?
That's a great question. So I technically started like performing in like children's musicals when I was in middle school, but I didn't really start getting into the parts of theater that I loved dearly until I was around 17, and I wrote a piece called Pleasures of Afterlife, and it adjudicated highest in state, and it was performed through California State Thespian Festival that year. And since then, I've been like a self-taught playwright, and I've really started to take it seriously since applying at CSULB, where I was able to take playwriting classes and participate in Threshold. So yeah, that's essentially it.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
Did you immediately from that point apply to CSULB or?
No, I went to Bakersfield College back in my hometown for 2 years as a theater major, but I applied here not really with an interest in playwriting anymore. Like it was something I had done as a hobby, but it wasn't something that I was really focused on anymore at that point in my life. But I kind of rediscovered it when I came here in a really exciting way.
How did that work out?
So there's two playwriting classes on our campus. We don't have like a playwriting focus on our campus because very few campuses do anymore. It's a very, you know,
niche.
It's very niche in that way. I took a playwriting as an elective with Professor Patricia Laurie on campus. And while I was in it, I just kind of, you have to write every day in that class. And I rediscovered like my love for it in a way, just from having to write every day and having my work read in class. And around that time I submitted Straight Play. This was last year. I submitted Straight Play to Threshold and it was picked up in a way and I didn't expect it to. So it was just that combination of things that led me back to it. Yeah.
You kind of like mentioned before when you were young, you did children's show and everything. What initially drew you into that world?
Drew me into it. I've never been the type of person who's like afraid to get up in front of a group of people and speak to them. I maybe am a little bit more so now that I'm older, but when I was a kid, it was never anything I was like afraid of, right? So I think I always had like the natural like looking towards it. But what really drew me in as like a grown person is there's something really, a lot of people compare film and theater in a way that feels almost unfair to both art forms because they're both trying to do different things. There's something so unique about being in a room and watching a story unfold with the actors physically there and with and like suspending your disbelief to like to find yourself entrenched in this world. That's so different about theater and so different about theatrical writing to me than it is in any other kind of writing I've done. So I guess that's really what drew me in, is that feeling. Yeah.
There is a lot more elements in film and stuff that can create a believable world, but it relies on the actors.
It really does, And it's theater, I guess, also excites me because it's not all the time about creating believability. It's more about, like, in my mind at least, evoking a feeling, if that makes any sense.
No, I totally understand.
Yeah.
Within this journey, like, you know, discovering what you like within the theater world, have you had any moments of frustration? What has that been like for you?
I did. I, like I said, I essentially majored in theater because I didn't know what else I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And it was something I had enjoyed doing. And because of that, I spent a lot of years being like, I don't really like acting that much. You know what I mean? Like that kind of feeling. Or I spent a lot of years being like, I'm like assistant directing and it's fine, but it's not like my thing. Or like doing tech even. Like doing tech behind the scenes of a play and being like, it's not really my thing. But when I found playwriting, it really felt right. Mm-hmm. And even within playwriting, I find hurdles every day. I always want to be a better writer than I am. And in the past, that's really paralyzed me. When it comes to writing, I went through, like, right before I came to CSULB, a 3-year bout of writer's block. Mm. That was really rough.
Yeah.
Because it was this sense of, like, it's when your knowledge of the subject, like, supersedes your skill set. Where it's, like, I can be better, and I know I can be better because I know how to be better. But I don't have the ability to yet. And that is something that is an ever-present thing for me as a writer, is that kind of attitude, and it makes me into a better writer, but it's a little bit frustrating.
Do you think that block kind of, like, all the experiences that you had in that time
absolutely
kind of added to
absolutely, because I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
it was during COVID, mm-hmm. which was like the perfect time to have writer's block, but leaving that, I left it with like an appreciation for writing that I didn't have before, and like a kind of gratefulness for being able to do it at all now. So even when there's times where I'm frustrated from outside stuff, where it's like, this director is misinterpreting my script, or like, these actors are not understanding what I've written and I need to go back to the drawing board, oh my God. Even from then, it's so easy now to recenter and be like, but it's awesome that it's getting produced at all. Or it's awesome that I'm writing it all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
I think currently what keeps you in it?
What keeps me in it? The question is almost like, what could keep me out of it at this point? Mm-hmm. I know that's like insane to say, or like it sounds very, it sounds very like corny, but what keeps me in it, I love, that's the other thing I love about theater. I love people. I love the people I make theater with. Mm-hmm. If anyone has been an actor or been a director of one of my pieces, there's a little bit of an obsession with them. I love working with them. It's always like, I always leave with such a fondness for the people who I
it's
got
good
to
quality
work
to have.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. There's that. What else keeps me in it? It's fun. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. And also that, like, it feels like it's important work. There's a lot of talk that I've heard since I started playwriting that it is a dying field. Which, fair enough, there's a lot wrong with the theater repertory system and a lot wrong with just the arts right now in general, between AI and the strikes and everything going on. Like, mm-hmm. there's a lot wrong. But I think that it is reductive and naive to think that, like, playwriting, which is an art that is older than literally any of the buildings around us, any of the people around us, mm-hmm. an art that has existed that long, dying now feels a little silly. Maybe the way we're going to do it is silly, but I don't know. It feels almost in a really weird, deeply formerly Catholic way that I'm carrying on a very old tradition every time I write. Not to like make my work sound so lofty, but like there's that too. Yeah.
No, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
What inspired your show Straight Play that was just recently running?
That's such a great question. So I love a rom-com, unfortunately. But a lot of the work that inspired it was other queer plays that I had read while I was doing my like prerequisites at community college. So like there's like Beyond Therapy by Christopher Durang, which is like a one-act comedy, kind of similar themes that I was in a scene for. There's a musical called Falsettos by Bill Finn that I found a lot of humor in. In both of those pieces, there's exploration of queerness and, like, relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But in a way where, like, I feel like a lot of queer media, queer characters are not allowed to be flawed people. And I found that really compelling in those pieces. So I... Straight Play kind of came out of that.
You wanted to add to that, like, element.
Oh, absolutely.
Where it's more human characters.
Where it's like, sometimes gay people are bad, or sometimes gay people make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Because they're people. And sometimes it's related to their queerness in a way that is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to kind of explore that in a piece. Yeah.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Is the humor also intertwined by that inspiration?
Oh, absolutely. yeah, I'm a comedy writer before anything, I do think.
Mm-hmm. Were you ever like a comedy performer? Or, like, if you were typecasted in anything?
Yes. Yeah. So here's the thing is, it's really funny because that's one of the reasons why I stopped acting, too, is because I kept getting cast in comedic roles, and I hate comedic acting. I don't hate it. I don't hate other people doing it, but I feel so self-conscious the whole time that I'm doing it. But it was my typecast. But yeah.
It's hard work being the jester.
It's hard work being the jester for real.
You were laughed at. You were not being laughed
this
at.
This is true. I'm a jester in a different way now, though. Yeah. Or I'm not being laughed at, but I'm something I've said is being laughed at.
Okay. So I think with straight play and everything, from like the conception, I guess you had your inspiration and everything with it. What has the journey been like for you?
Straight play is a project that I had technically been working on since the first time I started playwriting, because I learned about the term a straight play when I was like 17. Mm-hmm. For those who don't know, a straight play is anything that isn't a musical. It is a straight play. It's spoken through no musical numbers. And I thought that phrase was really funny because I had encountered so many quote unquote straight plays that had queer themes and were gay. So I was like, I want to write a play one day called Straight Play that's a gay play. The plot of Straight Play is that a theater critic named Lee is going out on a date with his current girlfriend, Sally, and he's getting ready to propose to her. And while he's there, he runs into his ex-boyfriend from college. And the conflict is that his current girlfriend does not know that he is bisexual. And so when the premise for the play arose in me around 2019, I knew that that was the title I wanted for it. And by the time that I had this play kind of ready and it was time to submit stuff to Threshold, and I had this piece, which was like the perfect Threshold length of like 30 to 45 minutes long, depending on how you stage it, I like was done with the piece. I hated it because I had spent so long with it. And then when it was produced, I saw that it was actually a functioning and hopefully enjoyable script. I mean, other people around me seemed to like it. But and so I was like, I guess I need to continue to work on this project. Yeah. And now where I'm at with the piece after it's been staged through CalRep is I have submitted it for professional conferences to continue working on it to make sure it's completely solid. So that's where I'm at right now.
That's wonderful. It seems like the inclusion of identity and sexuality is a huge theme within your play, from like the plot to the inspiration. Why did you choose the inclusion of this theme?
Well, it's hard to, it's always funny because I've been asked this question a couple of times and it's always funny to lead with, well, I myself am bisexual. I'm bisexual. And I was bisexual in like Catholic school in a conservative community in the early 2000s. So I grew up witnessing a lot of homophobia, but also like a lot of very specific biphobia, which is interesting. I knew a lot of like adults in my life who were very comfortable with people being gay, but weren't so comfortable with the idea that someone could be attracted to more than one gender at once. And a lot of that biphobia I heard directed towards men. This idea that like, if you're a bisexual man, it means that you're either hiding something, you're lying, or you're just like less of a man, quote unquote, for being bisexual. And that was something that always really bothered me for some reason.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to write a play about that at first. And now I, as I write more, I do want to continue to explore bisexuality from different gender identities, different points of view in life. And
Yeah.
It's this idea, okay, you're straight and that's like the normal thing to be. And that's like the, if you were raised in a religious sector that was homophobic, it's the pious thing to be. And then there's being gay, which is the weird thing to be and the sinful thing to be. And then there's this interesting gray area, which I think pisses a lot of people off.
Oh, kind of like, it's kind of like funny, like the gray area about having like kind of like morally gray characters as well.
That as well, where it's like, I don't know. I at that point had seen a lot of plays written by people that explored queer themes that were afraid, because of homophobia, which I get, to make gay characters fallible in a way that I felt was also was just like a disservice to what they were writing about. Does that make any sense? Where it's like, I don't know, you can be bisexual and it can be bad that you've had biphobia happen to you, but it's wrong to hide things from someone you're with. Or it's wrong to like mistreat a former partner.
We were talking specifically about how Lee is chosen to be a man and stuff. How does like your experience with your sexuality,
how does my sexuality inform my work?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like it informs my work in the way that like every aspect of my life does. But to me, it was, one of those things that I never felt comfortable talking about with other people. And to me, those things are things that I think are worth writing about. And specifically choosing a man, I guess, 'cause like I'm a woman. So it was enough distance away from like my experience that I felt like I wasn't writing my own experience, which I think sometimes can lead to work that isn't as poignant, I guess, by writing my own experience. It wasn't, like, autobiographical.
Yeah.
And it wasn't biased in that way. Mm-hmm. It's biased, but not, like, as biased as it could have been. It felt like I could really get, like, a little bit of an outside perspective. But also because, as a bisexual woman, I love bi men. And I sympathize with the particular brand of biphobia that's slung their way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's different for me in a lot of ways. I think when I tell people I'm bisexual, their first instinct isn't necessarily to say that I'm lying. Mm-hmm. And I found that that's more common in men, is this idea of you're secretly gay, or you're a cheater, or, like, you're less of a man. And it's, mm-hmm. like, not necessarily, that's not the truth. And it's something that I just found really compelling personally. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, whereas for women, it may not be acknowledged or mm-hmm. Taken seriously. Men, it's not even really considered.
It's not even considered an option. Yeah. Yeah.
Have you heard any, you did mention a little bit earlier, but have you heard any feedback on how this theme has, like, influenced the audience?
That's a great question. I don't know if I've done the like egomaniacal playwriting thing of, like, I changed their worldview. But people at least enjoyed it from a comedic perspective.
Uh-huh.
They at least found it clever. It's nice to be able to sit in an audience and know that people are going to laugh.
Uh-huh.
That was for a while when I first started writing, there was the question of, are people going to laugh at this? But now knowing that people will is great. I don't know. I hope that somebody left with a different perspective on bisexuality. Mm-hmm. Or are left with at least more of an open heart to the concept.
Mm-hmm.
or just least, at the very least, enjoyed themselves for a nice night of theater. But yeah I don't know. Hopefully.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think overall, what does this project mean to you?
What does this project mean for me? I'm afraid of being overdramatic. I feel like I have a couple of times already. But to me, it's been really life-affirming.
Uh-huh.
It's been, like, affirming to me as a writer. It's not probably. It is my best piece that I have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing that people enjoy my writing and seeing that people enjoy this piece and that it resonates with them, or that they just, I don't know, or they just had a good time with it, or that they still are thinking about it, has been really affirming. And just that's what it means to me, especially since it was fresh off of me having, like, horrible writer's block and, like, mm-hmm. grappling with it in a lot of ways. It's been a huge deal, just its existence. Yeah.
What do you have next that's planned? What should people keep an eye out for?
Ooh, that's great. So in general, check out CSULB Theater Threshold. Every week there is a new play being staged,
mm-hmm.
And it is completely free. It's going to be in the theater building on Thursdays at 6:30 and Fridays at noon and 3. As for my writing, I write for a podcast called Where the Stars Fell that is going into its final season. So I always want to pitch that. And as for just playwriting, it's hard to, like, direct people to things when there's nothing actively being staged, because the nature of theater is that it's, like, completely transient. Follow my Instagram, maybe? I don't know.
And what's that?
It's going to be not Lucy B, N-O-T, Lucy B, and then B like the initial, mm-hmm. on Instagram. That's where I'll post about my writing updates if anybody is interested. But yeah, apart from that, just keep an eye on our campus in general. There's a lot of really interesting new play development happening in our theater department, like, almost every week. Not every week, but almost every week.
Yeah.
That I think that everybody should keep their finger on the pulse for.
What is the podcast around?
The podcast Where the Stars Fell? The podcast is a audio drama that is written by me and my co-writer and showrunner, Newton Shottlecotty. It is about the Antichrist, who is roommates with her guardian angel. And it is a little queer, explores a lot of themes related to, like, disability and just, like, the supernatural. And it's a really fun piece. That was a lot of what I was doing during that 3-year dark period of not writing plays, uh-huh. was editing and writing for that podcast.
How exciting.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining in on this episode of Artist Banter. And a special thank you to our guest, Lucy Brown, for being here today.
Thank you.
If you want to hear more from Long Beach's own contributors of art and music, or follow along for future conversations, check out our website, daily49er.com, and our socials, at daily49er. To keep up to date with Lucy's future projects, follow her at notlucyb. We appreciate you being here. Take care, and see you soon.